Welcome to this Thursday edition of Money Live from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. Today we're going to open up the Money Life mailbag and answer some of your questions. Chuck, I don't know about you, but this is probably one of my most enjoyable types of programs that we do because we get to really get into the mind and the hearts of our listeners and provide them with the hope, help, and insight that they're looking for.
Well, and we also help them with our theme for this program, which is how to make money, how to manage it wisely, and how to use it to fulfill God's purposes. So it really accomplishes all of our objectives. And what we've found, Dave, is that it generates more questions. And so keep sending them because we really like to answer these questions.
Absolutely, it does. Let's get started. And this first one comes from a single mom of two teenagers. And she writes that for the past 2 years, I've been investing $25 a month in mutual funds by way of a 457 deferred compensation plan. During the past 6 months, I've earned 2.1% interest. Now, to date, the ending value of this account is only $745. My annual gross income is $37,000. So, should I stop investing in this plan and put my $25 towards paying off $40,000 in debts?
Well, I want to thank Charisse in Tampa, Florida for writing us and asking us this question. But what I really want to do is to take some time and go through it because there's a lot more to her question than meets the eye. First of all, she has $40,000 of debt on $37,000 of annual income, which means that she's way underwater. And she's really, really in trouble. And then secondly, she's asking, should she pay $25 a month to pay off that debt? Absolutely. The answer is yes. But that's only $300 a year, which will barely, in fact, I don't think that will cover the interest at all. Even it won't really make a dent in that debt. So we need to go in depth on this question and really help Charisse understand what God's plan would be for her far beyond just moving that $25 towards her debt reduction.
Well, you're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. And by the way, if you have a question that you'd like to ask Chuck, you can always do that by writing to chuckbentley@crown.org. That's Chuck Bentley, all one word, at crown.org. In addition, if you have to step away from today's program, you can always hear it again by going to crown.org and listen online or get our free podcast each day. We'll take a quick break, and when we return, we'll be answering your questions. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries, and we'll be right back.
Running a successful business in this very challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills, and a coach to help you navigate these uncharted waters. Business by the Book brings the brightest minds in history to bear on the most important issues facing your business today. Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring and firing, pay increases and promotions, management team selection, and much more. Authored by well-known financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book offers a biblical worldview to businesses of all types. Whether you're a startup or an established firm, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you each step of the way from God's Word. Business by the Book is available now at crown.org. That's crown.org. Log on, order your copy, and begin enjoying the satisfaction of running your business by the book today.
Welcome back to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. Chuck, before the break, we were answering a question from Charisse in Tampa regarding her investments and a plan to try and reduce a pretty sizable amount of debt.
Well, what Charisse asked looked like a pretty straightforward question. Should she put $25 a month into long-term deferred compensation plan or apply it towards $40,000 worth of debt? But the real problem here is that she has more debt than she has annual income. So she's got a much, much greater problem. And I want to walk through that with her to really try to give her some rails to run on to work out of the bigger problem. And the first thing I would say, Charisse, is you need a plan that gets you where you need to be, and I would suggest that you follow the steps of the money map. The very first step you need to take is to save $1,000 in an emergency savings account. In fact, I would take that $25 a month and put it in a money market account just for the sole purpose of saving it so that you build up an emergency savings account and you can stop incurring more debt. That's the first thing you really need to do. After you get 1 month of savings in place, then you can start splitting that amount and applying some towards saving more in your emergency savings and the other going towards debt reduction. So first thing is get a copy of the money map. Secondly, I would get in touch with our online money map coach. That's absolutely free. They'll walk you through the steps. They'll show you how to set up a budget, how to get your emergency savings established. In fact, I was talking to our online coaches in a conference call just this week, and they said the number one question they get when people contact an online money map coach is how do they get the $1,000 saved? They want to get to destination one. So they're very, very capable of helping you with that. And then the third thing I would do is I would begin to pray that God would show you a way to eliminate that debt in its entirety, whether by increasing your income, whether by finding new sources of income, or just ways that only the Lord could do. You know, the verse that immediately came to my mind for you was Proverbs 15:16, better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. And so you have a major issue with your debt, and you have a little bit to apply to it. But if you combine that with the fear of the Lord, with saying, Lord, I need your help, I think God will intervene and help you get out of this situation. And I'd love to hear back from you, Charisse, what God's going to do to help you get totally debt-free.
Hmm. Well, Chuck, our next question comes from Forrest in Rusk, Texas, and he writes, our little girl of 7, since she was 2, has been selling eggs and puppies in the neighborhood and making a couple $100 a year. We invested her money a few years ago, but that hasn't turned out good at all. We thought mutual funds were supposed to be slow but secure investments, but we've lost quite a bit of money. What would you suggest we do for our little girl's money as well as for a little savings that my wife and I have?
Well, I just love this question, don't you, Dave?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I can just see this little two-year-old out there selling eggs, you know, raising puppies and selling them to the neighbors. I'll bet everybody likes to see her coming.
Absolutely.
You know, the little bitty entrepreneur that she is, it's a great story because she's learning to make money. Mm-hmm. And that's a skill that parents need to impart to their children. So there's a real upside to this story. And secondly, they're teaching her already how to manage it. Mm-hmm. And they're finding that it's a slippery slope and there's some risk in managing it. And one of the things in their question that I think helps everybody is to understand the difference between saving money and investing money. Saving money is when you put it in a secure place and get very, very little return, but you have a safe return. You haven't put the money at risk. The other side of that is investing requires risk. And what he's asking in this question is, I don't like the fact that I took this little girl's hard-earned money, put it at risk, and lost. Mm. Well, you've answered your own question. What you're saying is you'd rather have saved it. And at her age, I think it's a wise thing to do, to actually save it, let it accumulate with a very low level of interest, but it will multiply over time. And when you have enough accumulated in savings, then you become an investor. But you're getting ahead of yourself. So my recommendation would be to put the money in a CD or a treasury note. Both are backed by the FDIC. And I think both of you would be happier with that approach until you get sufficient amount where you feel like making a true investment and putting some money at risk.
You know, Chuck, in light of that, is there a particular formula that maybe this listener or others can use to, in order to determine when is it wise to invest and when is it wise to just keep saving?
Well, yes, there is, Dave. And in fact, I think this is where so many people get confused. And that's the power of our money map, because it gives you steps. Step one, step two, step three. In other words, there is a linear process that you need to follow. And the biggest mistake most people make is they start becoming investors before they've become savers. And so step one is to have $1,000. Step two is to have 3 to 6 months living expenses set aside. And then step three is to get all your credit cards paid off, because that's all those things things are preventing you from becoming a capable investor, able to put money at risk and not live in fear that you're going to lose it. So you need to go through destination 1, 2, and 3 of the money map before you're really qualified to be an investor and put money at risk. And by the way, what happens is so many people jump to becoming investors, putting it in long-term instruments where there's penalty for withdrawal, and then they find that they have no liquidity, they have no margin, although they've got this money set aside. I can't tell you how many questions we get from people that have no savings and they want to draw from their 401k or their 403b, and they're going to have to take a penalty to do it because they got out of sequence for those steps.
So the recommended plan, even for the 3 to 6 months of living expenses, is in some kind of secure, low growth, or
absolutely. You need to have access to it without penalty, and it shouldn't be at any great risk for the return that you're getting for it. I just don't think it's wise to become an investor before you become a saver and have margin in your finances. And that's what the money map helps people to understand.
And Chuck, you've mentioned a couple times the money map, and that's been a very successful tool that we've been able to provide to our listeners. For those who don't know about the money map, just give us an overview of what this is.
Well, the money map is a very simple graphic plan to allow a person to follow the sequence to get financially healthy, to get financially free. Howard and I wrote that together several years ago, and it has been widely distributed. In fact, people use it all over the world because it gives them the power of knowing the next step. We have some people, Dave, that actually have built ministries around it. They have small groups in their homes. They meet with people. They pray with each other, and they talk about where they are in their journey. And it has been such a great tool that we've backed it up with our online money map coaches to help people go through those destinations. So I highly recommend people get a copy.
Well, you can find the money map at crown.org. That's crown.org. You're listening to Money Life with Chuck Bentley. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You know, the Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money Package from Crown Financial Ministries. The ABCs of Money Package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. It has three detachable compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C. Your kids will use one for giving, one for saving, and one for spending. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through an interesting study, simple Bible studies, and fun, hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Invest in the future of your children by teaching them God's way of managing money with the ABCs of Money package. It's available at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Well, welcome back to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. If you're just joining us, we're answering your questions today. And if you'd like to hear the program in its entirety, you can always go to crown.org and listen online, or sign up for our free podcast and have us deliver Money Life right to your computer each day. And Chuck, we have a question here from Jim in Florence, South Carolina. And he's writing about a retirement question, which, by the way, is the number one issue that we hear from our listeners, and how much is enough, and how do I prepare for it appropriately? And certainly Jim's question falls right into that category.
Well, and you're also going to hear a very consistent theme that they're asking about what to do with their 401k. So read the question and let's jump into it.
My wife and I are nearing retirement age, and with the economic downturn, we're wondering if we should use our 401k money to pay off our mortgage, which has about 25 years left. My wife would like the security of having no debt, but I hate to withdraw the money and have the tax consequences while we're both working. What are your thoughts?
Well, I want to thank Jim in Florence, South Carolina, for writing us and asking that question. As I said earlier, one of the reasons that I think it's important to follow a sequential plan, a step-by-step plan, is to avoid getting in this kind of situation where most of your resources are tied up in a long-term plan, which has a penalty for withdrawal. And so in a 401k, you cannot withdraw that money until you're 59 and a half without paying a 10% penalty plus your normal income tax rate. So it could be a pretty good whack against the income that you've set aside for a long period of time. So my recommendation would be to keep your money in the 401k. Certainly don't withdraw it before you reach that 59 and a half year age to be able to avoid that penalty, because that's a big chunk out of your resources. But what I would prefer that they do is that they look at their situation with two incomes and begin taking radical steps to pay off their house debt out of cash flow. Now, we've got a calculator online at crown.org under our tools section. If you go there, you'll find a calculator that will allow you to estimate how much you have to pay each month towards your mortgage to cut that 25 years in half. My recommendation is to take at least a 12-year plan, maybe even a 7-year plan, and get your mortgage paid off out of cash flow and keep that money growing in your 401k.
Chuck, the next question comes from a listener in Pennsylvania, and she writes, our 17-year-old son is part of a 5-member Christian band that's been together for about 2 years. The band manager, also the father of one of the band members, thinks all the money should be put into the band account and used for instruments, recording, and other band expenses. But my husband and I think the boys should each get paid a percentage to pay for their own sticks and strings so they can learn how to handle their own money. The band manager thinks it would be bad business and unfair to the other boys if one boy didn't budget wisely and the band couldn't do a show. We think it'd be a great life lesson and one we'd love our son to learn. What's your advice?
Well, I appreciate this question because I have a son that's been on that journey. He went into the music field and he's now doing quite well in it. But we've walked through this on a very personal basis many times. But it also is a question that hits some of the elements of the purpose for money life. It's a question about making money, which a 17-year-old son is doing. I'm very glad to see that God's gifted him to be able to do that. But it's also another question about managing money. So here's my thoughts. I would do both. I think that you're both right. The father of one of the band members who says that some money should go into the band and share common expenses, that's a good solid plan. So a percentage of the income should go to the band, but I think a percentage should also go to each of the band members so they learn those life lessons that you're hoping that they learn. So I would recommend that you get an agreement with the band manager right now before it goes too much further and starts to cause a split and a divide, and tell the band manager that you see his logic and the benefit of having a common pool for expenses, but also that you would hope he would see your goal to help each of the boys learn how to manage their money wisely, and what a great opportunity this would be to set them on a good path for the rest of their life.
Chuck, that sounds like a good plan. Our next question comes from Teresa in Franklin, North Carolina. She writes, my husband recently had to have gallbladder surgery. We have no health insurance. We also don't have a 401k or any savings. We've been tithers, but my husband says we can't afford to pay our tithes now that we have to pay this hospital bill. Without too much fuss, I told him, do what you have to do, but I will pay tithes on my income. What do you suggest?
Well, there's several problems that are brewing here, Teresa, and I would like to kind of go through each of those with you. The first one is, I think you need to protect the unity of your marriage. 1 Peter 3:1 says, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. And so this is an opportunity for you to win over your husband's confidence. So I wouldn't take this attitude that you're going to do it anyway, even though it's in your heart to do it. Now, I think that God's obviously given you a gift of faith, but you and your husband need to be better planners. And I would recommend that you go to him not and argue about tithing, but that you ask him if you could agree that you need a financial plan because you don't have savings and you don't have insurance. And those are two things that you need to agree on in addition to having the ultimate goal to be able to have more margin so that you can give and you can honor God's word. Also, our Money Map coaches are available to help you with this. If you could just suggest that the two of you will formulate a plan that you can agree on so that you can get some savings, get some health insurance, and begin to give and honor the Lord, and let our Money Map coaches help you online, it's absolutely free.
Well, you can find out about online Money Map coaching at crown.org. While you're there, you'll also find some free online resources to help you make money, manage it well, and as we say, to use your resources to fulfill God's purposes in your life. Well, we'll take a quick break. When we return, we'll answer more of your questions. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll be right back.
Tired of struggling to pay your bills every month? Are you ready to get out of debt? Well, the way out isn't to make more money. It's to learn to manage what God has already given you. And we have something that'll help you do that. Crown Envelopes. Crown Envelopes from Crown Financial Ministries is one of the most advanced money management systems ever. Crown Envelopes will help you easily create a home budget online and connect it to your bank and credit card accounts. Then, Crown Envelopes will automatically track your spending, update your budget, and tell you exactly how much you have left in any budget category. Crown Envelopes gives you access to your financial information 24/7 from home, work, even your cell phone, so you can always know where you stand financially and make informed decisions. Take control of your finances today and sign up for Crown Envelopes at crown.org. With Crown Envelopes, you can become debt-free. Again, Crown Envelopes is available at crown.org.
Well, welcome back to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We've been answering your questions today. Chuck, yesterday in the program, we talked about college tuition and college financing and preparing for college, but we had an interesting question that came in regard to college, but not quite the same angle we were taking yesterday.
Well, we got a real sweet question from a mother who said, our son has graduated from college and he's moved back home, but he hasn't been able to find a job, so we've got a different issue. What do we do to get him to move out of the house? And she was asking it in a very loving way,
sure.
That delicate balance between trying to help them and encourage them, but also hold them accountable. And after they graduated from school, it's a tough time, and it's a tough job market. And so she was trying to figure out what to do. And I've thought about that and prayed about that question because I think a lot of people are finding themselves in that situation today. It's just occurring more and more often. And what I would recommend is that you suggest to your son that he get a job of some kind while he's looking for a job. It puts you in circulation. It allows you to meet more people. And it fills up the time, and I think it improves the opportunities to actually get your career job. So I would not allow my son, who's moved back into the home, to be idle and to say, well, I'm spending all day on the computer looking for a job, because that has gone on for several months. And then if that's not enough, I would suggest possibly they begin contributing to the overhead of the home, just like they were paying rent in an apartment, maybe at a reduced rate, something more affordable, where they're accountable for their own livelihood, even though you're providing a big part of it. And I think both of those steps are transitions into their maturity and their ability to live on their own. The last thing you want to do is to make it so easy that it just continues on indefinitely.
Well, Chuck, we have time for just one more question. And a listener writes, we're foster parents, and we get a small check every month. Should we pay tithes on that since it's not exactly earned income?
Well, it's interesting. This is the second question we've had from people who are really desirous of giving, desirous of using the resources they've been given to fulfill God's purposes for their life. And it's very encouraging to me. And we always want to encourage people to grow in generosity. But the answer to this question is no, you should not tithe on the income you're receiving on behalf of those children because it's by law designated for the benefit of those children. So as a parent of a foster child, you're required to be a steward of those resources in order to take care of those children. Now, the Bible does say to honor the Lord from your wealth and the first of all you produce, but you are not producing that income. The state is providing that income. So according to the law, you're to use that money to pay for expenses related to your foster children exclusively. And I appreciate your heart on that, but I think you're free to use those monies for exactly what they're intended to be used for.
Well, thanks, Chuck. And that takes about all the time we've got. If you'd like to ask Chuck a question, you can do that by writing to chuckbentley@crown.org. That's Chuck Bentley, all one word, @crown.org. And we'd love to be able to hear from you and answer your questions on another broadcast. Well, for Chuck Bentley and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, this is Dave Ball saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Money Life.